Up and Happy with Lee B and the Nixter. WCRFM.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning, just after 10, and it's time for an Up and Happy special with me, Lee B.
And me, the Nixter.
So let us take you back in time to a more innocent age, the late 70s and early 80s, and we're going to go totally Tiswas. Yes, this was Tiswas, and this is Totally Tiswas, a 2-hour celebration of Saturday morning telly of years gone by, to celebrate the fact that for one night only, tonight, Tiswas is back. Tiswas reunited tonight on ITV1, but what was it all about?
Well, Tiswas stood for Today is Saturday. Watch and smile, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
It was where your Saturday morning entertainment on TV really came from. It ran from January 1974 until April 1982, and Chris Tarrant was there for most of that time. Along the way, he was assisted by actress and presenter Sally James, John Gorman from the 60s group The Scaffold, Bob Carolgees, who has a couple of friends called Spit the Dog and Charlie the Monkey, and a little-known local comedian from Dudley by the name of Lenny Henry.
Now, what we've got for you for the next 2 hours is a bunch of sketches and songs performed by the Tiswas team, some fascinating facts about the show, and we've got some exclusive interviews with some of the stars of Tiswas itself.
So, let's go right back to the beginning. It's 10 a.m, the first Saturday morning of 1974, and a programme called Today is Saturday, or The Tiswas Show. It's coming on ATV in the Midlands. Now, it's a new kind of children's TV magazine show presented by local announcer Peter Tomlinson, alongside actor and singer John Asher and local news reporter Chris Tarrant. So how had it all come about? Well, last year I spoke to Peter Tomlinson and asked him exactly that.
It was something that happened to me that started Tiswas. In February of 1973, I joined ATV in the December of 1972 as what they called a weekend host. And in those days, I was the guy doing the announcing bits in between every programme, Saturday day, Saturday night, Sunday during the day, and Sunday evening. And on Saturday mornings in those days, we had children's programmes starting from about 10 minutes past 10. And it started with a cartoon. Then it went to another cartoon. The Jackson 5 was the cartoon at 10 minutes past 10. That shows how long ago it was, for 20 minutes. And then Scooby-Doo from half past 10 to 11. And then from 11 to half past 12, a Tarzan film. And one day we didn't have any commercials. It was February 1973. And we had to film. So we invented a quiz. Just sort of 5 questions about what had happened on children's television and ATV the previous week. And the next week, we got a sack full of letters with replies. And so it was easier the next week because there weren't any commercials, because we had to answer the questions from the week before and then set the next. And then there was about 5 sackfuls of mail. And then it went on for 4 weeks. And eventually, there were so many sackfuls of mail that the ratings had gone up just for those little question and answer spot, which triggered commercials. And Muggins here thought, why don't we combine all those cartoons and the Tarzan film into something that's just a kids' programme from, say, 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, and have a quiz. It was a sort of amalgamation of cartoons and a Tarzan film. And if you remember, that's really how Tiswas started off.
Later on, a caller called Jackie brought back a couple of memories of the early days.
Hello, Peter. Long time no see.
Good morning, Jackie.
Hello. Do you remember in 76 when you appeared on the Hippodrome stage with Chris Clarence at the game show?
Can I ever forget it?
Yeah, I don't think we will either.
And Chris being Chris Tarrant, of course, drew the short straw, and he was the one who was in the flying harness, wasn't he?
He was, and he hung himself as well.
He did. Do you also remember, I think it was the very first time, when the Lord Mayor of Birmingham came to one of those gang show nights, and Tarrant put a custard pie in his face?
I do, yes.
And he was all dressed up, not Tarrant, the Lord Mayor, in the chain and the dark suit.
Oh,
looking.
My God.
Absolutely. I thought, well, that's it. I thought, you know, the Tower of London and so on. We'd be carted away.
That's right, yeah.
But the audience appeared to like it.
Custard pie in your eyes.
I don't know about the Lord Mayor. We were never invited back, let's put it like that, Jackie.
Now, Tiswas carried on in the Midlands for a couple of years, stringing together cartoons, pop videos, film clips and competitions for the young audience in much the same way as they still do today.
The difference was that no one had ever done it before, and because it was live, anything could happen. Plus, very early on, they decided to make use of the classic slapstick device of chucking custard pies and buckets of water over people, just as the old black and white comedies had done.
The kids loved it, and slowly the other ITV regions around the country spotted what was going on too, and made sure that it was shown in their area. By 1976, the BBC had cottoned on too, and decided that they also ought to be doing something for children on Saturday mornings. And so, Multicoloured Swap Shop, presented by Noel Edmonds, Keith Chegwin, John Craven and later Maggie Philbin, was born.
Loyal to the end, all the cool kids stuck with Tiswas. By 1977, both John Asher and Peter Tomlinson had moved on. Chris Tarrant was still there, though, and was now joined by sports presenter and major Derby County fan, Trevor Rees.
As well as a rather lovely young lady called Sally James. She was an actress who'd also been presenting her own Saturday morning TV show, Saturday Scene, in London. The team of Chris, Sally and Trevor soon introduced us to what was to become a phenomenon. A little dance that had been invented by Jasper Carrot, where you had to basically lie flat out on your back, and as soon as you heard the following music, you'd have to pretend to be a dying fly.
Well, a magical atmosphere here as you join us live at the almost legendary Southend Pierview Fish Bar with some of the biggest names in showbiz lying on their backs, kicking their arms and legs in the air for this, the Royal Gala performance of The Dying Fly.
And what a lineup it is. Her Majesty looking radiant in ermine hat, mink stole and red wellies. His Royal Highness lying close alongside, giggling apprehensively. And as Betty Privet winds up the boys in the band, here they go with The Dying Fly!
Is an incredible spectacle. I can just see the Queen Mother with her arms and legs in the air, whirring like bees' wings.
There's Alexander Solzhenitsyn, that's Jasper Carrot.
His socks need darning.
There's Susan George, and that's Princess Anne. She's doing a sort of horse fly. I can just see the head of New Scotland Yard. He's doing a sort of blue bottle. The Royal Baby's in there somewhere. That's Ronnie Corbett. No, it's Cyril Smith. Difficult to tell from this angle.
There's Tutankhamun. He's doing a sort of rave from the grave.
That's his mummy lying alongside him.
Bianca Jagger's in there somewhere, but then she always is. That's Idi Amin. That's Brian Clough. That's Moshe Dayan. He's doing the Dayan fly.
This really is incredible. On your backs then for The Dying Fly!
to you all, and welcome to...
Hey, sorry.
Go away, I'm trying to do the intro.
Yeah, I know you are. Is this the A-side or the B-side?
I don't know. I think it's the C-side.
Hey? Oh, yes, so it is. Well, what's that seagull doing?
Are you sure that's supposed to be lucky?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very good for your garden. Sorry, sir.
Will you two go away?
Oh,
hello to you all, and welcome to Bert Lynn's Holiday Camp. And tonight we proudly present another Grab a Granny Night, starring the over-80s Dying Fly Dancers.
Yes, come on, oldies, on your backs, legs and arms in the air with the music from Bert Lynn's Holiday Campers Orchestra featuring Betty Grimmett. It's Dying Fly Time.
Marvellous, the touching sight of these dear, wonderful old people.
Mrs. Parfitt says, can she please be excused?
What? No, not in the middle of all this. If she goes, they'll all want to go. These really marvellous old troopers smiling away, their old legs kicking away in the air. Can you stop Mr. Brown doing that to Mrs. Wilkins?
Because they've known each other for years.
I don't care. Tell them to stop. The warm sight of these dear
Mrs.
ancient...
Mrs. Tim says her elastic's gone until you want her to carry on kicking her legs in the air.
Oh, no, for heaven's sake, no. Tell her to lie still. Can you stop that, Mr. Brown? I'll tell your father. And don't you encourage him, Miss Truscott. These redoubtable silver-haired veterans in the autumn of their years...
Mr. Murphy says he's going to pull one on Mr. Brown.
Will you sit back down, Mr. Murphy? Yes, I know what he said to Miss Truscott. Sit down, both of you. And I've told you not to kick your legs in the air anymore, Mrs. Timmins. I don't care if you are an old lady. This is disgraceful. You're animals.
Miss Truscott, let's sneak off for a fish supper. Break a few phone boxes and then straight back to my place.
Sal, Chris and Trev there with the Dying Fly and Grab a Granny from 1977.
This is Totally Tiswas, an Up and Happy special with Lee B and the Nixter. We're looking back at the original Saturday morning kids TV show, Tiswas. We're playing songs and sketches from the show, as well as speaking to some of the stars of the show too.
Saturday is Tiswas, never a day to miss, cause
now, as we said earlier, Tiswas cottoned on to the fact that custard pies and buckets of water were always good for a laugh, as they'd always been in the old black and white comedies in the 20s and 30s, so they soon became a trademark of the show.
In fact, they even managed to recruit someone who dedicated his life to chucking a pie at anyone who stood still long enough. Usually guests on the show or kids in the audience. The foulest fiend in the cosmos, the Phantom Flamflinger! Now, the Phantom was covered completely head to toe in black cloth so as to disguise himself. But today, we can exclusively reveal his secret identity. He's arming himself with a custard pie as I speak. Oh, no, he's coming in this direction. Perhaps we better leave it to Tiswas Reunited tonight on ITV1 to sort it out.
Shortly, we'll have the first of our exclusive interviews with members of the Tiswas team.
But first, let's take a look at... buckets of water instead. Water is wonderful, you know.
Water is wonderful, water's superb. Water's too powerful to conquer or curb. Water is best when you can chuck it over yourself out of a bucket.
Mighty handful and splash your armpits.
Splash both your kneecaps, your chest and your tum. Kneel in the water and splash your bottom.
Yeah! Hey!
Water is wonderful, water's superb. Water's
above of all, ask us scousers. We love to put it down our trousers. Not so the Scotsmen, the Picts and the Celts. We love to toss it right up our kilts.
Water is wonderful, water superb. Water's too powerful to conquer or curb. Water is best when you can chuck it over yourself out of a bucket. W-A-T-E-R.
Cabbage and dish and spell is water.
W-A-T-E-R.
Mersey and Oz and Virginia War.
Water is wonderful. Ask all the Nellies. They love to squelch it inside their wellies. Ask any Wally what he likes best. He likes to pour it through his string vest.
That's it! There we go!
Water is wonderful then. And that was the four Bucketeers there telling us that.
Who are the four Bucketeers, I hear you cry? Well, let's get them to tell us.
I've got the record around here somewhere. Yeah, it's a bit dirty, this one. It looks like it might need a bit of a clean.
Hello, welcome to this, our first long-awaited LP. I'm Chris.
Hi, I'm John.
I'm Bob with my friend. Spit the dog.
And of course, the four Bucketeers wouldn't be complete without... Yes, come in, Muriel. Hi, Mew.
Hi, gang.
Hi.
Hey, this record's absolutely filthy dirty.
It is actually.
Fluffing all the grooves.
It's crackling.
Disgusting.
Parsley. Get it clean.
Can you get the studio cleaner? Can you get the album cleaner?
Go on, Robert.
There must be someone who can sort this out.
There's a bloke who cleans all the albums.
What's the matter? What's the matter? What's going on?
Get your Hoover on and start cleaning.
Don't you tell me what to do about albums, pal. You're just the artist. You think you know it all. You're singing, you're dancing, you're laughing. But it's us studio album cleaners that know how to get things going as well. Don't get under my feet, will you, pal? I'm cleaning the album the way I know how to clean it. I'll clean more albums than you've got your little finger. I've cleaned places you never even know where places could be cleaned. I've cleaned number 10 Downing Street, pal. Albums and 10 Downing Street. So don't try and tell me how to clean albums. I've cleaned albums in Buckingham Palace. I've cleaned the Rolling Stones albums. I've cleaned the Beatles albums. Don't you get on my back.
Okay, that'll do. It's clean enough now. That's fine. Thank you very much. It's
I'm cleaning the albums.
That'll do!
Just cleaning the albums. Just trying to explain to me about cleaning
Ladies
the
albums. Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present...
It isn't the place. You've got to keep going in the albums. You've got to keep cleaning things away. You know, you've got to get your...
And life's road is long. Fill your hearts with this stirring song. Hold up your heads and give a cheer.
When you're a Bucketeer, we are the four Bucketeers. We are the four Bucketeers. We fight adversity to keep our country free.
Back we make a stand, backs to the wall to save this land, shoulders to the wheel, through life we steer.
When you're a Bucketeer, we are the four Bucketeers. We are the four Bucketeers. We fight adversity.
We're Sketches was today on this Up and Happy special with Lee B and the Nixter, with songs, sketches and interviews with some of the Tis Was team.
The first of which is coming up right now. We're taking a nostalgic look back ahead of Tis Was Reunited, which is on ITV1 tonight.
Yeah! Fantastic! This is what you want! Lots more goodies to come. Who needs Rod Stewart, eh, with stuff like this on tap? Lots more goodies to come. We shall be, of course, bringing you the Bucket of Water song. We shall be bringing you Compost Corner.
Compost Corner!
Just testing, and of course there's Spit the Dog. Don't do. One of Sally James's now almost legendary pop interviews, our resident five-year-old with his own unforgettable version of Bright Eyes.
Bright Eyes!
Get him out of here.
And the person sitting opposite me, of course, Mr. Matthew Butler.
Hey.
Hey. our very own resident star of Tis Was himself. You all right, Matt?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You love all this attention, don't
well,
you?
It's great. I'm a publicity hound.
Oh, you love it. You're so proud of Tis Was, aren't
you? Oh, yeah, yeah. So proud of my record and the old shows.
Yes, of course, the record. You've just reminded me something. There it is. It's ready. It sounds a bit like this. But we won't play it just yet.
It's a rock classic.
It's a rock classic. Yes. Did it get in the charts?
I think it may have peaked at about 121.
You see, that's very impressive, actually. Yeah, that's very impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it beat Larry Hagman at the time.
Ah, that's very good, yeah. There's your claim to fame.
Who's also a rock god.
Yes. Now, tell us how you actually did get involved.
Well, it was my mum was a great fan of Tis Was, as I think everyone of that age was at the time. And she really, really wanted to get me on the show. For some reason, she chose to dress me up as a grey rabbit with a big carrot.
Well, fair enough. Was it something that they wanted? Were they sort of holding auditions or something?
Yeah, there were some local auditions. They wanted some, I use this phrase, talent.
Yes, yeah, why not?
Loosely, I'll use that phrase loosely.
Okay.
And so my mum figured, as I enjoyed singing the song Bright Eyes at the time... For some, I don't know,
you
bizarre.
Really did.
I really was one of my favourite songs of the time.
You like Watership Down?
Yeah.
That's a great
So, yeah, and we just managed to drop lucky and got an audition in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Turned up, saw all the other professionals, and my mum added the final touches to the outfit on the day, the whiskers with a mascara.
Yes. Because you were dressed in a full rabbit suit.
Full rabbit suit,
full
yeah.
Full fur, head to foot.
Yeah.
Just your face showing.
Just my face and a carrot.
And a carrot, of course.
Homemade carrot.
A furry carrot. And the mascara whiskers, as you said.
And the mascara whiskers, which I think probably clinched it.
Well, yeah. I've heard Chris Tarrant talking about this, because obviously he was the producer of the show at that time, as well as the main presenter. And the way he explains it when he was being interviewed himself by Frank Skinner.
That's right,
a couple of years
ago,
which you were in the audience for, and we'll probably come to that a bit later on.
Yeah.
He said that you just stood out to him, you know. He's this boy with a great rabbit suit on and a furry cat, and thought, yes, that's the one. Yeah. That sort of thing, wasn't it?
He was crying with laughter. Because like you'd had all these professional dancers and singers, and then I turned up and just shouted, belted out Bright Eyes, and he was just laughing. He was like, you've got to come on the show.
I've got to say, does the rabbit suit still fit?
The head bit fits. I could wear it as a cape.
Oh, yeah.
A rabbit cape.
That's right, it's elasticated.
That's
isn't
it, yeah.
Yes, I've seen things. Do you remember much of the audition at that time?
Memories are sketchy, really. I mean, my mum used to tell me what happened. I do remember bits and bobs. I mean, I know it was at a nightclub in Birmingham somewhere where the auditions were held. But I was on the show the week after the auditions then.
And this is like January 1980, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how old were you then?
I was five. Yes. Yeah, four when I went for the auditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you went on the show that Saturday?
That's right, yeah.
Do you remember much about that actual first show?
Well...
I know you've seen it, obviously.
The actual song was pre-recorded in the week.
Ah, right.
Well, we got to the studio, not knowing much about the TV world, me and my mum, and she couldn't see a microphone anywhere. Of course, it's hanging... And she went, oh, well, there's no microphone. You better shout it out pretty loud. That's my excuse for it being so loud.
I see. Because yeah. You're just standing there.
Belt it out.
Belt it out, yes.
And they used a different version to what I was... They used the film soundtrack version, which is slightly longer. And if you see the video, I go to come in halfway through.
That's right, yeah.
I got my mouth wide open.
And of course, you look like you're yawning.
Yeah, but it's because I'm used to a different version, the single version.
Course,
and I've been eating Chew-Its, if you see my tongue's purple.
Oh, excellent. Because the idea all the way through the show as well, you're there in the studio. They introduce you quite early, don't
That's
they?
That's right,
he's
yeah.
He's got you sort of, you sit on Terence's knee once or twice, and yeah. then he goes off and he has his hair cut. And then, yeah. there's all those photos which appear in looking for the next couple yeah. of years. Whenever Terence's there with his hair cut, you're sitting there with him yeah. with the suit on. And you're all the idea was you were always asking him, weren't you?
Yeah.
If you could sing it, can I sing my song?
Can I? Not now. Not yeah. now, Matthew.
Yes, that's what we were doing earlier on. I'm yeah, sorry about that. But,
that's
you know,
fine. I'm used to it now, 25 years on.
So after the first one, because right at the end of the show, they say, yes, okay, you could sing the song. So you're singing it there in front of the Watership Down background and the credits are going across the screen and you give you a little grin at the end of it and away into ATV. Did you think that was the end of it?
Yeah, yeah, we just thought it was a one-off, really. And, well, we were happy to just do it once, really. But they had quite they had quite a lot of feedback from it saying, well, what else does he do
yes, amazing. So they called you back the next
week?
So
they called me back the next week, yeah.
And you just kept on doing that. I mean, how often did you actually do it during the show, do you remember
the actual song?
Yeah,
I mean,
they'd probably sort of rerun it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they'd rerun it, and I suppose I did the song, but it was rerun 5, 6, 7 or 8 times, I don't know. Yeah. Really. And I also did a rock classic as well, A Brick in the Wall, which also has to be, never made it into the charts.
You see, I was going to ask you about that. You just reminded me that was within the next couple of weeks.
That's
wasn't
right,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brick in the Wall. You're standing there again in front of it was Pink Floyd, wasn't it?
Pink Floyd, yeah.
And all we need is another brick in the wall. All that business, and you're standing there with a great massive hammer.
That's right, yeah.
I think, what the hell is he going to do with that? Smash up the camera or something?
Yeah, well, I hit the microphone at one stage. And my mum actually made that outfit as well.
Yeah.
My punk outfit, yeah. Because I wanted to be a punk rocker at the time. But the Bright Eyes thing was a sideline, you know.
Yeah, it was nice to have, you know, plenty of strings to your bow, yeah. I suppose.
She'd made the frills on the trousers out of a lampshade, the bottom of a lampshade. The frilly bit.
Yes,
she'd
yeah.
put them around
like
the bottom of the trousers, yeah.
Oh, terrific.
Very rock and roll.
Right, though, yeah. It's nice that you know, you go to all that trouble, because you imagine somebody else may not have gone for the full rabbit suit, you know, the full costume, yeah. Like, for Brick in the Wall and everything, but it's like method acted, really, isn't
well,
it?
Yeah.
You become the subject.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So you were in the whole of that series, really?
Yeah, I stopped on the show. I mean, I appeared in a few sketches and bits and bobs. Chaz and Dave, Max Boyce. And
yeah. Oh, of course, the Max Boyce one. The school desks.
That's right, yeah. Just stick Matthew in, he'll do something stupid.
Was it like that? I mean, did they sort of say, yeah, we'll do it in this way? Was it just, who's around? Right, you come in.
Yeah.
Or was it all planned?
It was planned. They're kind of like, well, we'll put Matthew in here, you know, put him in here, stick him there.
So it was organised chaos?
It was organised chaos,
there was a running order.
Yeah, there definitely was. Chris Tarrant was well in control.
Yeah. Did he tend to, you know, if things were going wrong, or if they looked as if they were going wrong, could, I know he would have had his director as well, but as the boss, as the producer, could he say, right, we're going to have to go to this next, or we're going to sort of chop it out?
Yeah, he would, yeah, he'd jump. I mean, if you ever, like, you've got the old shows to watch back, you can see he's like, oh, he starts rabbiting, and then he's onto something else.
Yeah. It's amazing, really. I don't know how he keeps his head around everything that's going on, you know, with everybody else. I know he got like a professional team, you know, like John Gorman was there in control of a lot of things as well. You can always see in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're all professional performers, they know what they're doing. It's amazing. I mean, and then of course, you'd been on it for about a year and a bit.
Yeah.
Because it ended more or less in March 1981 when Chris Tarrant left.
When Chris finished, yeah, that's when I finished as well.
That's right, so it was a year and a bit. And between those times, you recorded your song, which we mentioned earlier on. How did that actually come about? Why in the first place, do you think?
Well, they were making the Tiz Was album at the time, and they were doing the Tiz Was tour, which I actually went on one of the tours. I appeared at Coventry
and did
my song, and they said, oh, it's gone down, really, we'll record it and put it on the album. And then from the album, well, we'll bring it out as a single, because they brought out a few singles, hadn't they? The Bucket of Water song.
That's right, Water Is Wonderful.
Water Is Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, we'll bring Bright Eyes out.
I tell you what, shall we have a bit of a listen to Matthew's song? Do you want to sing along to it, how you did, or?
No, I think it'd be best not, actually.
Right, do you mind if we play it?
No, I'd love you to play it, it'd be brilliant.
Fair enough, I think we've heard this no end of times in the past, well, as Tiz Was fans, but if people don't know, this is the person sitting opposite me, Matthew Butler from Tiz Was, and his chart-topping song, Bright Eyes.
Yay!
Now, Matthew, now! Thank you.
was in a kind of a dream, floating down on the tide, following the river and death down the stream. Oh, isn't it a dream? There's a fog along the horizon, a strange glow in the sky, and nobody seems to know when or what does it mean. Is in a dream. Bright eyes burning like fire. Bright eyes, how can you close and fail? How can you light the bird so brightly, suddenly bird so pale? Bright eyes. Isn't a kind of a shadow reaching into the night, wandering over the hills? Isn't it a dream? There's a howling in the trees, a cold sound in the air, and nobody ever knows when or where does it start. Bright eyes burning like fire. Bright eyes, how can you close and fail? Isn't the light the bird so brightly, suddenly bird so pale?
Say, how cute was that?
Wow.
How cute was that?
Thank you.
That was Matthew Butler from Tis Was and Bright Eyes.
Thank you.
And Matthew's here in front of us. Called Matthew Lewis these days, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, name change.
Things change.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. When you got to towards the end of your time on Tis Was, the record would be released sort of late 1980, wasn't it?
That's right,
and
yes.
Then Chris Tarrant decided to leave Tis Was, move on to OTT at the end yeah. of March 1981.
Yeah, the series was just coming to an end and Chris and was finishing, and we just decided that was the time to move on, although we didn't move anywhere.
Yeah.
But my mum and dad were going through a divorce at the time.
Ah, right.
And so one thing and another, it just fizzled out.
Yeah, everything came to, yeah. I suppose, it's natural end in a way.
Yeah, which in a way, it just...
It's
a nice memory to look back on, isn't
yes,
it?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, would you like to have carried on Tis Was or gone on to do something else, maybe?
Oh,
or was there just not the opportunity to do that?
I don't think really there was the opportunity to do it. There probably was, but I'd probably gone past the sell-by date for that at the time. They've moved on something different. You've probably got about a year window or something, and then somebody else has come on the scene and you moved on.
It's the way it goes, isn't it?
It's life.
You're not bitter about it.
I'm not bitter, no.
I can tell you're absolutely proud of it, and I know you said your mum was as well.
Yeah, she loved it, yeah.
Marvellous stuff. So, since then, what have you been up to?
Well, I'm now actually a part-time firefighter, Staffordshire Fire and Rescue, just down the road. Penkridge. So I'm still involved with the buckets of water in a way.
That's true, actually, yeah. Though you don't chuck it over each other, you chuck it over
fires, know,
what
these
needs
days
to be chucked over.
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff. And do the people you know with know your previous past?
Yes, they all saw me on the Frank Skinner show a few years ago, which...
As we touched on earlier on, because Chris Tarrant was the guest on there, and tell us about that.
That's right, yeah. Well, I'm on Friends Reunited, and I got an email from a production company saying, could you come on the Frank Skinner show? completely out of the blue. And so my brother organised it, and we went down to London, and they said, well, Chris is our guest. We're going to surprise him with you. Frank's seen the Tiswas videos. He's still seen the Rabbit Boy, and he wants him on the show. So I just sat in the audience, and then they introduced Chris. And we went drinking with Chris afterwards, which was brilliant.
That seems to be a common pastime for people who know Chris Tarrant. Yeah. Which is a good thing, you know, he can hold his own.
He can, yeah, he's a top man, yeah. He seemed genuinely pleased to see me.
Yeah, so now we're here, and you are the firefighter.
A new era.
A new era, yes.
Yeah.
Back broadcasting to the nation.
Yeah, I like to keep my hand in, yeah.
As did Bob Carroll, you did spit the dog. Thank you very much. And as they said, in true Tiswas tradition, gear off! Matthew Butler there, the Singing Rabbit, or Matt Lewis as he's known today, and you can actually catch his radio show here on WCR-FM on Sunday nights.
This is Totally Tiswas, an up and happy special to celebrate the return of Tiswas Reunited on ITV1 tonight.
Time to chat with another member of the Tiswas team now, and it's someone who could usually be seen arm in arm with a number of unusual characters. A rather cheeky monkey called Charlie. A pinkish, purplish cat that didn't do a fat lot called... cough. Blimey. I must have won £1 million. Oh, hang on. Wrong programme. And then there was a dog that spits, called Spit the Dog. It can only be Bob Carroll G's. Now, I spoke with Bob Carroll G's last year in an interview for the TiswasOnline.com website. More about that later. But I thought I'd better clear things up, first and foremost, by asking Bob what his real name is.
It's Bob Johnson. Carroll G's comes from two friends of mine, Carol and George. And when I first came across Carroll G's, George had a mobile disco, which I started fronting. A lot of people assumed I was Bob Carroll G's. Then eventually when I tried to join Equity, or when I attempted to join Equity, so I applied under Bob Carroll G's, because nobody had a stupid name like that, so I've been with it ever since.
So you're actually from Birmingham then? Birmingham.
Oh yes, I'm Birmingham born and bred.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
Oh, quite right.
Yeah. Oh, really? So getting into Tiswas then?
I was doing quite well in the theatre cabaret circuit, working for big stars, Ken Dodd, Cilla Black, lots of the big major stars. And one of the ones was Frank Carson. And I was working with Frank, and he said to me at one time, he said, Bobby, he said, I've got the perfect television for you. It'd be great. I'll take you down there one of the days. It's a Saturday morning show. Well, I was already a fan of Tiswas, so I knew what he was talking about. And so, yeah, eventually Frank took me down there. And we were late as normal with Frank getting into the studio. And so we went actually into the studio. Frank said to me in his dressing room, bring one of your things. So I took Charlie the monkey. Mm. Into the studio with me. I was no stranger to television studios, so I wasn't thrown by it. And so I've got the monkey, I'm in the sidelines, and I've got Charlie the monkey, and he's just messing about, and the show's not started yet, and I'm throwing peanuts up for him, and he's catching them. And the place has gone silent watching this idiot with this monkey. Chris Tarrant looked over, saw, and I can't tell you exactly what he said, but basically he said, I don't know who the you are, but come and stand here, you're going to be on television. Oh. And so he stood me behind where Sally and Chris used to open the show from and present it from, and amongst all the kids. And so that was it. During the first quarter of the show, I was doing things with the monkey, balloons and hitting the kids. And during the first interval, Chris went up to the room as normal to see his director. Came back, he said, this is amazing, apparently, what's going on behind me. I'm sorry, I can't see it. Hmm. And eventually he said to me, have you got anything else? I said, well, I've got my dog. He said, what dog? He said, it's a dog in my dress. Get the dog. So yeah. And did the same thing, just without a microphone. I was just in the background. After that show, we're chatting, you know, all together in the green room. And Chris had been given this information about this guy behind him, which was me. And he said, look, apparently this is brilliant. They're doing me a video so I can watch it at home. He said, we might be able to use you again if you're interested. I said, certainly, you know. He said, next time there might be some pay involved. I said, even better. Mm. So by the Thursday, my agent's phone was red hot. It was just, everything was happening. And so I was on the following week, and the week after that week, I just became a member of the team. And
just as simple as that?
Yeah, but I was already an act. I had lots to fall back on. I had lots of little tricks and bits of sketches and that I already was doing it on live stage.
Oh, right.
So it wasn't, it was no pressure as I was concerned. It was just a natural progression.
Okay, so if we backtrack a little bit then, Spit and Charlie, who came first?
Charlie the Monkey. What happened was with the characters, with the mobile disco, because that became so popular around Merseyside, a lot of clubs wanted us to work there every week. Mm. So there was a club we did it every Thursday, there was a club we did every Sunday. And so the pressure was on me to come up with new ideas all the time. And we had George and I also had a record shop at that time. And in the record shop, I heard a record by Spike Jonze and the City Slickers called You Always Hurt the One You Love. Mm. And as I'm listening to it, it's this manic song with these two voices in it, which is completely true. You always hurt the one you love, the bankkeeper, and there's all these noises. And I thought that would be brilliant in the act, but there's two voices, it needs another character. Hmm. So next door to the record shop was a baby linen shop, and I already had some silly rubber heads in that I just acquired and collected. Well, by that night I'd made my first character, which is called Plonky. Hmm. And still is. And I had a big mirror and I used to rehearse this song with this mime routine. Mm. Tried it out this one night and it was just a sensation. And that led on to other characters. And I ended up with quite a few characters before I decided, that's a loud B, before I decided to make something more realistic. To find a character to make, I went to Chester Zoo. And I was watching the monkeys for ages and I thought, a monkey would be fantastic. Mm. So I tried to make something quite realistic. As I was making Charlie the Monkey, I'd nearly finished him. And this idea of realism is still going around my head. And a flash of inspiration came to me whereby I thought, hang on, if you've got an animal there and your hand's in the animal's head, right, now, that's connected to the animal's body and legs which could support a false arm. So your arm could come through the elbow of that sleeve and it would make the complete triangle and it would look realistic.
Yeah.
And the next day, I think, I started work on an animal, which I knew was going to be probably a dog or a fox. Turned out to be the dog. When I first made the dog, I called him Spot the Dog, simply because he's all grey.
Yeah.
And I had this idea for a line, which nobody ever got, and always died. And I said, when I brought him out, he said, this is my dog, Spot. I call him Spot because he hasn't got one. And the dog used to go like that. And nobody ever got the gag, because it wasn't that funny. It was a innuendo type thing. Yeah. So there was a coming up very shortly after that, I'd turned pro in the business, and I was doing a club in Liverpool, in the Dingle in Liverpool, and in those days I had probably a 35-minute act. And I'll give you an idea how well I went. I got through it in 8 minutes,
right.
And they got paid off. I died an absolute death. And I was hopeless. I mean, I just judged everything wrong. But I got to the stage where I'm going to introduce my dog now. I'm going at 100 miles an hour. That's why I got through it so quick. Put the dog on. And I said, this is my dog, Spot. Still didn't get any laughs. Carried on with the routine. Finished it. I got paid off at the end by the committee. And the next day when I was considering suicide, I realised that the only noise I'd heard from the 8 minutes was this moment when I'd introduced the dog and I'd made a mistake with his name. And I'd heard a noise, and I still don't know to this day whether somebody laughed or broke wind, but there was a noise there. Mm. And so from then on, I was thinking, spit the dog. That might just work, you know. So I tried that, added the noise, and it went on for years before anything happened.
So you got Spit and Charlie,
yeah.
And soon came Cough.
I was doing summer season in Bridlington, and Chris Tarrant had come over to visit us for a few days and have a drink. And this one particular night, the last night he was there, we'd had a few too many to drink. And he said to me, "Have you got any new ideas?" I said, "Oh, loads of new ideas, loads." "Well, what ideas have you got?" I went, "A new character." "Oh, you got a new character? That's fantastic. That's fantastic. That." He was as bad as me, I might add.
Yeah.
"That's fantastic. What is it?" I went, "Oh, what is it? It's a dog. It's a cat." "Oh, brilliant. The dog and the cat. Oh, fantastic. What's its name?" "Spit the dog. Cough the cat." "Oh, fantastic. That's going to be fantastic. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant." Now, I don't remember that conversation.
Mm.
3 days later, it was in the national press.
Oh.
And this is the first I'd heard of it. So I rapidly had to make this Cough the Cat character, and the only fur I had spare was turquoise, which is a bit unfortunate for a cat. And so he was introduced to national television. Not very successfully.
So you actually made the puppets yourself?
Yeah, I've always made all my own props.
Yeah.
They're quite well made. They last fairly well.
Mm-hmm. And how many of them were each? There were two Charlies.
There's been either two or three Charlies. The first one was brown, and I've probably made a couple since then. And in total, there's been three Spits.
Mm.
The first one, as you probably know, I auctioned off to promote my website, www.carolgiescandles.com.
Good.
At Christie's, the auctioneer at Christie's. And bonus upon bonus, not only did he make a fabulous start to the website for the personalised candles that are unique and exceptional, but he also ended up nearly paying for the website, because they expected him to get about £1,500. He got $5,500, and it was a very expensive website. But I mean, I didn't expect anything like that, but I thought, that's a bonus. He's nearly paid for the website.
Well, there you go, true. The best boost you can possibly get, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, back in Tiswas, there was a sketch where you took Charlie to a dry ski slope.
Oh, yes.
How on earth did you get Charlie to stay in the ski boot?
And ski down?
Yeah, because he's a very talented monkey.
Well, I think you've answered the question.
Yeah, right. So he'd have more lessons than you then?
Well, I'm quite a good animal trainer.
That's good.
It was done with a big iron rod, by the way. Up his bottom.
What the illusion there?
Right, like up his bottom it was.
Oh, right, okay. So if we move on to the final series then now, which is the one that people tend to remember, because it was after the Four Booketeers came in sort of the beginning of 1980-ish with the Bucket of Water song. How did that come about?
Oh, I think John wrote it.
Mm.
And we started doing it on the show. We did it once on the show, and I think because of the reaction it got, we did it again. And it just all took off into another direction of suddenly having a hit record.
So it wasn't actually planned then? It just came about just like that?
Tiswas was never planned with anything. And I've never planned anything in my life.
Mm.
None of my life has been a plan. It's just, I've just gone with the flow of whatever has happened and not worried about it. Mm. I never had an ambition. And still don't, and I just go with stuff and whatever. And I've had a lovely worry-free life.
But it all came about around the time of your final series, which was sort of in 1981.
Right.
Was it a decision of yours to leave Tiswas, or did you feel it just came to a natural end?
Well, what had happened is that John and Chris had decided to try and create this other show called OTT, and I was just went along for the ride because I was asked.
All right then, can we talk about Who the Elbow?
Yes, I did a little sketch fairly early on in the Tiswas days with Chris and I think Sally was involved in the sketch as well. And I did this in a particular way that Chris afterwards said, "Oh, that was so funny the way you did that voice and everything."
Just the voice to begin with, was
well,
it?
Yeah, because it was that cross between Birmingham and Scouse. It said, "You're right, Chris, you know, it's good. How's it going?" And
so it just gets me even now.
And he said, "That's really funny. I like that. He said, "There's a character there somewhere." And so I just developed Who. I thought, you know, I was trying to think of a name, and I thought Houdini, because I wanted to be a man of mystery, clairvoyant extraordinaire, stargazer on stinting. And so I thought of Houdini, and then I thought Houdi Elbow. There we go. I nicked a pair of my dad's old pyjamas and some of his old shirts that he didn't use, which was Houdi's shirt. And I found this silly old cap that I turned back to front and wrote Who the Elbow on it.
Mm.
And a star was born.
Because a lot of it involved sort of quick changes as well. There's something that springs to mind immediately, that you're at the desk with Sally and Chris presenting something, and all of a sudden you disappear underneath and you reappear as Hoodie.
Yeah.
A lot of quick changes involved
there,
with that.
There was but that was Tiswas, wasn't it? It was Manic.
Hmm.
And that was part of the fun of it.
And everybody knew anyway. You know, it's not as if you're trying to fool anybody that you are this different person.
No.
Everybody knew and they accepted it, I guess.
There's no choices, though. It's just... Yeah.
Just accept what you're given.
Yeah, but that was the... I mean, Tiswas was such... It was, I think it was so good because of the team. They just gelled together. Mm. Nobody tried to be funnier than anybody else. We just did our thing and... And everybody was talented. Mm. Well, I myself accepted, of course.
Oh, well, obviously.
But everybody was just gelled. And if you could see somebody was struggling, another person would jump in to help it out and take the camera away from them and stuff.
You do notice that. I mean, I'm thinking of being egged on from off screen as well, you know.
Yeah.
If maybe something's failing, you'll hear maybe an obvious laugh in the background, you know, maybe Lenny's sort of gene you on or something. Yeah, exactly, that's it. And Terrence sort of going, oh, shut up, Henry, and whatever. But that you did gee each other on as well.
Oh, yeah.
Was that an obvious thing that you tried to do?
Or no, we were just
you
into
just wanted
it.
To get the best
we were
thing
just into it. It was fun for us. I mean, we weren't trying to make it fun. It was fun.
Mm.
And it was exciting to do because there was no rehearsal. There was a sort of plan, which was just on a piece of paper, which was a time plan. But it wasn't like a normal television. It wasn't like that at all. It was fantastic to do because of the freedom of, you know, we knew nobody was going to swear because we were fairly disciplined, and we knew at the end of the day it was hopefully going to be funny.
Yeah.
But you see, I don't compare us to Monty Python at all. That was a totally different thing, and they went far further up the ladder than we ever did. So I'm not trying to compare us to any of those guys who are brilliant. But in our own little way, when you look at Monty Python, for instance, not all of it is that funny now when you look back. And the same applies to Tiswas. Mm. A lot of it isn't funny, but there's the occasional gem in there which people, you know, that's made me, that's all I wanted for that Saturday morning was that bit, along with a few custard pies and a bit of water. That's Tiswas.
Yeah.
It didn't all have to be genius.
I agree what you mean there, but it's the old gang show thing, isn't it? You know, everybody coming together. It just clicks just right.
I was very proud to be a part of that. Mm. But that applies to a lot of the telly that I did. I was, you know, that's many of the tellies that I've done, I've been proud to be associated with. Surprise, surprise, and OTT, Hold Tight, and they all worked in their way.
As a producer, was he one of the lads, or was he always? He's always the boss.
One of the lads and the boss.
All right, so it did work like that then?
Yes.
It could work?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Chris's brain is so sharp and so... How it works, I don't know. I've met a few people like it who are so ahead of the game with the spontaneity of the mind. It's unbelievable. I'll certainly never be one. But Chris has always been the sharp-brained individual who, by the time you've... Before you've finished asking the question, he's got the answer. How he does it, I don't know. But he's
fine
that, he's that bright.
Okay, another question. You wore a rabbit suit once on Tiswas, in honor of little Matthew Butler.
Matthew.
Singing Bright Eyes, who's sitting opposite us at the moment.
Bright Eyes, smiling like fire.
Brilliant. Absolutely classic.
You're doing the accent.
Classic TV.
Really like for you.
Horizon.
Yeah. Was your rabbit suit comfortable? Do you remember wearing it?
I do remember wearing it, and they are very hot and very itchy. And
got fleas like spit in there?
No, not as many. Oh. But they are a bit of a nuisance when you want to go to the loo.
Ah, yes.
Because I wasn't born with a rabbit skin. Rabbits don't have a problem.
True.
But, you know, when you've got a rabbit skin on, which isn't yours, it doesn't work the same.
How much freedom did you have with your act on Tiswas? How did you sort of come to put together the actual sketches? Was it just, you know, you've got 2 minutes to fill, do something?
On a Friday afternoon, we used to turn up and sit at this big table, a committee room, and the director would have a big sheet of paper like that, which is full of little time squares. He'd already filled in where the cartoons are going and where the various music videos are going, and the ad breaks and various bits. And so Chris would say to eventually get to me and he'd say, what have you got? I say, I've got a spit spot. Oh, great. How long is it? It's about 2.5. Right, there. What else have you got? I said, I've got a spot with a monkey. Right, how long? About 2, maybe 3 a stretch. Right, there. and he'd go around everybody, and that's with, you know, any sketches. Yeah, we got these sketches. John would say, yeah, we got these sketches. Right, all right, Gorman, you and Carol G's do that one there. And so we just, oh yeah, right. And it just filled the page out. We'd go out and get drunk.
Sounds like a
good
great
system.
Way to work,
great system.
Okay, so you had as much freedom as you want, really. You could decide, within reason, what you put into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all trusted the fact that nobody was going to be blue or swear or do anything that would harm the show. You know?
Do you still keep in touch with the other presenters of Tiswas?
Yeah, of course. They all live down in London. Chris, I was with a few weeks back. I was asked to present him with a TV award, a Midlands TV award, so I saw him. Sally, I've chatted to fairly recently. Her husband, I've chatted to very recently. Lenny and I are emailing each other at the minute about different things. John, I haven't seen for a long time. I don't know where John is.
I think he's in Bridge North. Please.
Oh, really? Yeah, I don't know.
So, Bob, thank you very much indeed for talking to us.
Cheers. Nice to see you.
Right. I'm exhausted, aren't you?
All right, check's in the post.
Thank you.
Okay, man, let's do some new wave canine rock and roll. Give me an S. Give me a P. Give me an I. Give me a T. Now he comes and looks so fine. He's the number one hit at party time. A very posh dog, so full of class. A superstar dog, he's a great big smash. It's Spit. It's Spit. It's Spit. The funky spittin' punk. What a groovy mover on the TV screen. Does the greatest tricks that you've ever seen. Walks like an angel, sings like a bird. With the smoothest voice that you've ever heard. It's Spit. It's Spit. It is Spit. The funky spin punk dog.
Hi, this is Bob Carroll. I hope you're up and I hope you're happy.
You want a lot? You want to do some impressions? What would you like to do? A dash hand, please. A sheepdog,
bah.
An Irish sheepdog,
boo.
A sea dog, go on then.
It's Spit. It's Spit. It's Spit. The funky spittin' punk dog. Doggy music. It's Spit. It's Spit. It's Spit. The funky spin punk dog.
Did you have to do that? Get the mop, go on.
When he goes walking in the street, he's the dog that we all love to meet. He shakes his paw, he nods his head. He doesn't say hello, he just spits instead. It's Spit. It's Spit. It's Spit. The funky spin punk dog.
Your chance to spit the person next to you. It's Spit. First behind.
It's Spit.
Everybody in the air.
It's Spit. The funky spin punk dog.
Bob Carroll G's there telling us all about Spit, the funky, spitting punk dog.
Thanks, Bob. This is Totally Tiswas, an up and happy special with Lee B and the Nixter to celebrate the return of Tiswas for one night only, tonight on ITV1. And we've reached the end of our first hour. Don't worry, though, there's plenty more to come. More music and mayhem from the Tiswas team, including a certain song about a bucket of water. No idea what that is. Apparently, this is what they want. Ah, hang on. I sense we might have to lie down again. See you shortly. Over to you, CT.
Here is Sally with a sad, cautionary little tale.
I am a little fly, up in the sky so high. I like all sorts of food, especially half-chewed. Sunday joints on Mondays, mouldy sausage rolls and pies, and dirty, smelly dustbins are a sight for my sore eyes.
Hello and welcome to EMI's multimillion.
Sorry, hello, welcome to CBS's multi-million...
Oh, come on, look at it.
CBS's shoestring operation here in... Where are we?
London.
Here in London, for this, the gala Year of the Bucket performance of that ancient fertility ride to the... What's it called?
The Dying Fly.
The Dying Fly. Incredible scenes here at Decca Studios.
CBS,
the sight of all these big name celebrities lying on their backs, kicking their arms and legs in the air.
Yes, there's David Bellamy.
That's Muhammad Ali.
There's Moshe Dayan.
He's doing a sort of Dayan fly.
There's Tutankhamun.
There's his mummy.
There's Tommy Cooper.
There's Billy Connolly.
Fred Eklund's in there somewhere.
There's Ellis Capo.
There's Frank Carson.
There's Hot Chocolate.
John Arlish.
Cannon and Ball.
Who's John Arlish?
Never you mind. There's Matthew Butler. Not now, Matthew.
Get that child out of here.
Will you get that dog out of here? Here we go then with the Dying Fly. Karen, get down. Come on, Tracy, on your back. Come on, love. Auntie Mabel, down you get. Go on. Oh, never mind. I can see your tattoos. Get up again. Come on. Quickly, come on. Legs and arms whirring in the air like bees' wings. Come on. Now, everybody singing as well.
We're all doing the night fly, doing the night fly.